Welcome to Head to Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Markham. This bi-weekly podcast is created to be a safe space to admit what we truly believe in our hearts. And many of us, when we take the time to truly examine ourselves, will find some sort of shame, fear, or lies hiding in there. And it is never God's will for us to stay in bondage to those. It's His truth that sets us free from them. But there's a huge difference between having biblical knowledge floating around in our heads and actually believing that it's true. Until God's truth makes its way into our hearts, nothing changes. We'll be doing a mix of solo episodes and interviews with friends who have experienced the freedom that comes when head knowledge becomes heart knowledge. The truth will set you free so you can walk every day in the freedom God desires for you. It's time to let go of shame, fear, and lies. Those aren't yours to carry. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to Head to Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Markham. And today is a very, well, should I say highly requested? Not exactly. I don't know if anyone said, do another one with Danielle. I don't think anyone told me that directly, but I will tell you what they did tell me.
They said, in fact, do another one and cut Danielle out of it, actually. Let's do dating. We'll redo it.
So Danielle and I made an episode called How to Start Dating Without Being Weird About It, and we answered a lot of listener Q&As. And we enjoyed recording that so much. It was so fun for us. And then you guys asked such wonderful questions. And then, even better news, someone wrote this to me on my anonymous listener survey. Someone anonymously wrote on the survey, the How to Date Without Being Weird episode led me to try a Christian dating app based off the advice of putting yourself in a community of Christian men, and I met a guy I very much like. We were like, oh, that's so wonderful to hear. And I would have never known that unless someone, you know, told me on the survey, or if they told me in person, or that just makes you think, because you're a podcaster now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are. So you're in a position where we have no idea if the things we say are actually being fruitful and helping you unless you tell us directly.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for whoever wrote that in. We're so happy to hear it helped you. And I know that all of you have probably taken every single bit of advice that we said on the last episode. And we knew that you've already taken action and now you're starting to date and maybe you've found someone that you really like or that you're very interested in. And now you're saying, what the heck do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
Because now you've gotten me into this mess and now you're just going to leave me hanging. No, absolutely not. We will not leave you hanging.
No,
we will not do that. No. So I completely forgot to ask you this question. What have you been set free from? If you're loving Head to Heart so far, I have another podcast recommendation for you. It's called Your Two Best Friends Podcast, and you may already know one of the hosts because Danielle Hanlon was a guest on this show, and now her and Annalise have started their own podcast for those who want to grow in their relationship with God within a solid community. It's both edifying and funny, the best of both worlds. So you could find it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and I'll link it in the show notes just so you have a little shortcut. So make sure to check out their podcast when you're done listening to this episode. So Danielle, take some time to answer the question, what have you been set free from?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And something that I've been set free from, I think that relates to what we're going to talk about today, is my own testimony of having sex before marriage and then finding a Christian man that was going to want to be with me, or going to think I was worth dating, or, you know, that would uphold boundaries that we wanted of sexual purity in a Christian relationship. And I thought, that is not going to be something that happens to me because I've already messed up and I've already done something like this. But that is a total lie. And I found a wonderful man who is now my husband who walked through that with me. We walked through it together. We upheld sexual purity in our relationship and then have a wonderful and beautiful marriage. So,
oh yeah.
If that's you, there is hope, and that is a total lie from the pits of hell.
The pits of hell. And do not accept that.
Nope.
No.
We do not accept.
We do not accept that. So, just like the other episode,
You guys asked us wonderful questions. So we just thank you. They made us think really, really hard. And so you made it difficult. Thanks a lot. But we are grateful. We are very grateful for all your questions. I'll let you know which ones are listener Q&A questions and which ones I just threw in there. A lot of them, if we're talking about the early stages of dating someone, a lot of your questions were based on timing. When do we do this? When do we say that? When do I talk about this? All very valid. And timing is important and going to be a little bit different for every couple. The first listener question was, when do I tell my boyfriend about struggles with porn adjacent content / activities, and how much do I tell? I'm walking in a lot of victory in both, but still struggle with masturbation. What do I tell him?
It's a really good question. A lot of these timing questions are, like Jenny said, going to really depend on your relationship and maybe who you both are as a person. Some people are really comfortable with being vulnerable from the get-go. Some people are really comfortable talking about these deep, intimate topics. And for example, my husband and I, we talked about this before we even officially dated. We were just very open and honest. And for us personally, it wasn't always something that we, you know, found a lot of shame in. I had my own, but we both just felt very comfortable with each other in order to tell each other, you know, what had been going on in this kind of area, this either sexual sin or just sexual history, I guess. It is something that you're trusting them with, something that's very intimate and personal to you. You know, if this has been a really long struggle that you've had with the Lord and you've had a lot of victory, it sounds like, which is so amazing, you don't want to tell someone who might not give you a lot of grace or kind of, sometimes that can set you down a path of like, oh, you know, I really am not perfect. I'm really second guessing how much progress I've made. Mm-hmm. And you made a huge victory with the Lord. Sexual sin is so hard to be set free from. And it really is amazing that you found so much victory in both. I also think that your boyfriend is not going to be your accountability partner. Mm-hmm. I think that can like change some along the way in relationship. I don't think you're ever going to be your spouse's only accountability partner in terms of sexual sin. So it's not going to be like, I have to tell them right now so they can keep tabs on me the rest of the relationship.
You're not telling them every time you mess up, but you are sharing that you do struggle and how you have healed so far and how you are currently healing, because it's very good to hear. Okay. You're dating someone. It's very good to hear. Okay, they are being proactive in their own healing, and they're not just accepting this level of victory and saying, this is as good as it's going to get. So that's very reassuring to hear.
Yeah, because you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be fully healed from every single thing when you start dating. That's something that's really important to know. I think it's going to matter to your boyfriend or girlfriend if you are working towards that. If you are continuing, like Jenny said, to work towards full healing with the Lord. That's the goal. And it might take a long time to get there, but I think that's the most important thing to communicate. And then in my mind, that's not a red flag, because we all struggle with lots of things. And as long as we're willing to grow, we're submitting it to the Lord. And you're like, no, I have accountability for this. I just want to let you know it's something I've struggled with. Sometimes I still mess up, but I'm really working hard to root out my life. Then I think that'd be good.
You do, and that would be great.
And then you're great to
go. And then you're golden.
Get on date.
You don't want to wait until you're in the middle of a very serious relationship talking about getting engaged to share anything about it, because then it feels like a huge bomb in the middle of your relationship and you think you've known about this the whole time and you never even tried to mention it. So don't wait until it's really serious, you know?
Yeah.
You can bring it up, and it's up to you how much detail you want to share.
Absolutely. I've known people that are a year into a relationship, very serious, that have never talked about this topic.
Oh, no.
And it becomes this over looming, like, dark cloud of like always in the back of your mind, like, what am I going to hear? What am I not going to hear? And like, what if they're not working on this sin? And that's a big deal for me because I, you know, don't know if I can deal with that or whatever. You do your both of you a favor by being honest. I don't think you have to walk up to them on the first date and be like, by the way, I'm still struggling with masturbation. But I think it will naturally and organically come up as you are getting to know each other and you're starting to talk about like serious, more serious things.
Not just fun first date questions.
Yeah. So I don't think that's a fun first
date. I don't know what kind of first dates
go on some crazy first dates, but
none of my first dates were like that. And you know what? That was okay.
So, I'd say the same.
The next listener question is, how much and when do I share about my sexual sin in the past? So the difference between these two questions was, there's still an ongoing struggle. And then this one is saying that the sexual sin has been completely in the past. So I don't think there's a certain timeline you need to go by, but it would be similar to when you talk about porn addictions or something like that. And the last episode of season 4, I recorded with my husband and we talked about that specifically. So if that's helpful for you, go ahead and listen to that episode. But you want to be feeling comfortable with each other, but not too late to where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so invested in you and you never mentioned a single thing this whole time. And a good question to ask, okay, when do I share? If it were the other person sharing their sexual sin in the past with you, when would you like to know that information? When would be helpful for you? Is it really early on so that you can just be aware? Or is it once I've gotten to know you a bit more and I'm thinking about taking next steps with you, I'm thinking about saying I love you, when would you like to know that information? You also have to keep in mind that this is talking about sin in the past. And if you have truly repented from that, then it is truly forgiven by the blood of Christ. So there shouldn't be any shame attached to that, to know I am forgiven, I am completely free, and this isn't something I need to be afraid of sharing. So you want to keep that in mind because you want that person to also have that mindset. It would be awful if you shared and then they were like, that's terrible, I cannot be in a relationship with you. So, you know, of course, if they said that, that would be a red flag of like, okay, I don't think they understand what grace and forgiveness is.
Yes. I also think that sometimes you might be thinking, oh, I have a mix. I have some past sexual sin that I'm totally healed from, things I'm not doing anymore. And maybe I have some, you know, maybe porn related sin that's I'm kind of struggling with, or masturbation or something. So you're like, okay, well now I've got a mix. And so we got to combine these
questions.
We're
a mixed bag.
We're a mixed bag of this. And I think a lot of people might be in that boat, especially according to the latest statistics on how many Christians are having sex before marriage and how many people struggle with porn. So you probably might fall into this boat of like, maybe I'm in the between the two. I've had a lot of victory in some areas and I'm still working on victory in others. I think these conversations will probably come up together. So if you're feeling comfortable enough to be vulnerable, I really think it can be as soon as you want. Like Jen and I said, it's probably not coming up on the first date, but maybe you're like, this is super important for me, for them to know, you know, I found a lot of victory and I want them to be super supportive. And that's something I need to know before getting into a relationship with them. Then maybe before, you know, you guys are starting to talk about becoming officially boyfriend or girlfriend, then be like, hey, this is something serious I just want to talk to you about. Like Jenny said, you don't have to go into every dirty detail of what it's entailed, but you can say, this is something that's in my past, this is something that's in my present. I wanted you to know, to let you know, like, hey, this is where I'm at, if that makes a difference to you. I think you also guard your heart in this way. I think people should be really graceful, but sometimes, unfortunately, they're not. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's either projections of people's own sin that they don't want to tackle, or it's sometimes, you know, maybe that's not in their testimony and people don't have empathy for it. And there's all sorts of reasons that sometimes people don't offer grace, and that's not good. That is very sinful.
That is not good.
But sometimes you may run into that. And I think you can guard your heart by bringing it up early in the relationship. So if that's the case, you spare yourself just a lot of pain. I think that's why sometimes, you know, there are these cases of people waiting till really late in the relationship because they just don't want to know. But I think it's so much more painful to have to find that out down the road. Or if you're telling someone, find out that they're not, you know, as supportive and graceful as you thought they were going to be. So the timing is going to be different. But I think Jenny and I would agree, it probably should be earlier than later in the relationship.
Don't just avoid it because you're afraid.
Absolutely.
You're going to find out that they're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And they're like disgusted with your past sin or something.
100%. And most likely, with today's world and the statistics on sin, like I mentioned, especially sexual sin, it's most likely you both have struggled with something. That is the most likely scenario. Mm-hmm.
And so, if you're struggling and you say, well, mm-hmm. I struggle with this. And then they said, I haven't struggled with any of that. Then they are struggling with pride.
Yes.
Boom, roasted.
We got them.
Got them.
Get them, boys.
Get them.
So I think that would be something which, again, is just as sinful as something like sexual sin. Okay, there's all sorts of sins, and being ungraceful and prideful about not having sexual sin is just as bad as current sexual sin. So all that to say is share it early, mm-hmm. share it when you're feeling comfortable, and that will allow you to guard your heart, protect yourself, but also protect your boyfriend or girlfriend's feelings as well. So mm-hmm. like we've mentioned, they don't feel like a bomb's been dropped on them.
Yes.
2 years in, you're getting married in 2 days, yep. and all of a sudden they're like, did I know you at all?
Yeah, exactly. Next listener question is, when is it appropriate to share your testimony in the nitty gritty? Nitty gritty.
I like that term, nitty gritty.
Nitty gritty, okay. Usually when you're just getting to know someone, even just a friend, you start out vague and then you begin to know that person, you begin to see that you trust them, and then you can get into more detail as time goes on. And that's just how friendship, it's just how good relationships work. So if you need wisdom and discernment, don't forget that God will lovingly, ungrudgingly give it to you. So ask him, ask, I need to know if this person is trustworthy. I need to know when to bring things up. And your word says that you will give it to me freely. So feel free to ask him if you need help.
Yeah. I think the beauty of also dating and going on that journey, and then the journey of getting engaged and getting married and embarking on a whole other journey, is that your intimacy, your trust, your transparency, and like the foundation of your relationship is all going to grow. It's going to grow in time. And so with things on all of like the timing questions that we've talked about, Jenny and I want to be clear, don't drop a bomb on somebody, okay? You don't want a bomb dropped on you. Don't drop a bomb on somebody else. But I don't think every single thing needs to come out in the beginning in the nitty-gritty. You know, you can over time share pieces of it. You know, when you're feeling very comfortable, maybe sometimes you share like a little piece in the nitty-gritty of your testimony, mm-hmm. and then a little piece later. Maybe sexual sin is just a piece of your testimony in the nitty-gritty that you share earlier. And then later it's something, you know, maybe you've experienced in your childhood and things like that. And so I think as you get to know each other and grow in that, these things are going to organically and naturally come up. I don't think you need to sit down with them and be like, it is testimony
time. I wrote out this timeline for you.
Yeah.
I drew it out on this graph paper, so you don't have any questions left. Yeah.
These are way more ambiguous, these questions on timing, because it really does depend on you. And some people are way more vulnerable and open. Some people, you got to take a little time to crack. Mm-hmm. Both people are worth dating, mm-hmm. I think. And both people bring out different sides of you. But as you get to know each other, as you're dating, these things are going to come up. I think also in dating, your testimony is going to naturally come out. You know, as they get to know your family, yeah. as they get to know you. I think sometimes you don't even have to have a serious, like, sit down testimony talk. They're going to see it by getting to know your life. They're going to see it in you. They're going to see the work that God has done in you. They're going to hear about who you used to be and who you are now, and see the testimony of the Lord working in your life. And then if they're your spouse, they end up being your spouse, they're only going to see that testimony further. You're not going to sit down with them in 50 years and be like, okay, testimony time again. Yeah. I've got to update
because
you.
Because they will watch your testimony unfold.
Yeah, that's the beautiful part of it. So don't think of like, that's got to be something in the back of my mind I have to share. There are certain things you do have to share. Maybe some sexual sin as it relates to the relationship. These things are going to beautifully come out. Let them organically flow. Some nights you're going to have really deep, beautiful conversations till 2 a.m. on the phone. Mm-hmm. And some days you're going to have really fun and silly, casual conversation. You're going to be at a coffee shop. And that's all wonderful. Mm-hmm. Every conversation you have to have in a relationship in the beginning doesn't need to be this intense, deep, like we're getting into
therapy
it.
Session. Therapy.
Yes, exactly. Let it be fun. Let it be working.
Have fun.
Yes, that have the most
have fun.
Fun. This isn't an interview for
a
job.
You're going to be okay. You are going to be okay. Really, we promise you that.
We could not promise it more.
The listener question that was asked next was, at what point do you bring up any mental health challenges you might experience? I thought that was a really great question.
These people are concerned about timing, and I
they are,
that.
And I completely
you guys are on a
understand.
Timeline, and I love it.
Yes, we love that. They're go-getters. So some mental health challenges are just more obvious than others. And so naturally, some will come up sooner because you just can't hide them and they're unavoidable. If you are hesitant to share about any mental health challenges, I think it's pretty important to ask yourself why. So if you're afraid to share, why are you afraid to share? Is it because it has not been received well before in past relationships, or you're afraid of rejection? So those fears are something that God can come in and meet, and He can heal that, to know that you are fully accepted, fully loved, no matter what you struggle with. And that is a need that He can meet first, so that let's say you do share and it goes great. Other scenario, you share and it doesn't go so great. Then that will not tear you down as a person. It won't shake your identity. So just make sure that you understand you are so loved by God beforehand, so that you're not putting your identity and your entire personhood in someone else's hands and be like, I hope they react well. Otherwise, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's also really important to remember that someone else is not going to like save you from those like mental health struggles. Yeah. I think people, maybe you're struggling with mental health and the beginning of the relationship is so fun. You're like, my depression is gone.
I don't even know what depression is.
But I think, and then so those things might come back and the person you're dating might notice them, but they're also not going to be able to like fix you of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be thinking, maybe I'm struggling with these things and our relationship's going to fix it. And it's not that you think, oh, a relationship's going to fix it. It's sometimes we tend to think something else is going to fix this mm-hmm. in areas of our life that only God can fix. We're really like, the next thing, more money, if yeah. I traveled more.
The next thrill.
Yeah. It's that's what's going to fix this hole, or that's what's going to help like my mental health. That's going to help my mental illness. And as long as you're keeping your eyes on the Lord in those things, you can stay away from, you know, expecting your boyfriend or girlfriend, your spouse to fix those problems. Because as you get in a relationship, you don't want to put that burden on them. So like, you want to have a handle on it. I think like Jenny said, it's naturally going to come out in some ways. If you're, you know, struggling with depression, that might be obvious some days, you know, they might just figure that out, be like, oh shoot, like how can mm-hmm. I assist you in this? And you can also just see the beauty in someone stepping into that, but then you are not going to expect them to fix it.
Right.
It
may be important to communicate that, so that if you're having a day where you're really struggling, they're not wondering, why don't they want to hang out with me? Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought things were going well. Are things not going well?
Yeah.
So it is important to be like, well, I do struggle with this, just so you know, because it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
I promise.
Some things I might not text back because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just having an off day. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to be good at communicating as well, and not being like, also, I am depressed because you did not text me.
You did this, and you didn't text me back, and then you broke up with me.
You had a mental illness. You didn't text me back. Now I'm feeling like I'm having a little bit of a mental illness.
You make this worse for me.
Yeah. It's just, you get a little crazy. Mm-hmm. So
get a little crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to naturally come out, like we said, clear in communication. In our first episode, that's one of the big things Jenny and I talked about. Just be clear, be upfront, be honest, and I think that will organically come out.
Mm-hmm. Next listener question. Very creative. Loved it. I love that mm-hmm. someone asked this. They said, when do you think it's normal to start saying love? Excellent question.
Yeah, that's really good.
Excellent.
A+ to whoever asked
yep,
this.
Yep, A+. Every person is a little different, so there isn't any hard and fast rule on this. It's just important to understand what love is, and to not mistake it with some sort of infatuation or just the lovey-dovey feelings that you get at the beginning of a relationship. Because feeling like you're on cloud 9 and infatuated at the beginning is completely normal. There's nothing wrong with that. Please do not be one of those people that gets really worried when they feel like all giddy and excited at the beginning of a relationship, and because they mistake it with idolizing that person. And that's definitely something, you know, the church in general can work on,
mm-hmm.
of saying like, oh, you feel like,
oh, you have an attraction to this
you have
person?
An attraction?
Sent.
Oh my gosh, lower them on your totem pole. Don't answer their text.
Start hating them and then go on a date.
Yeah. Go on a date with Jesus, then go on a date
tell
with
them to kick rocks. and so, then in 2 months text them back.
Don't be one of those people. No. You're completely normal. Mm-hmm. You're feeling infatuated.
Yeah.
But just don't mistake infatuation with love.
Yeah. I think that is a really important thing. And some of you are probably listening to these answers and you're like, I wanted a timeline. I wanted a for sure week. I wanted
Where
a for sure month.
Where is my step-by-step plan?
And we're giving you very ambiguous answers. But here's the mess of dating. That's the thing. The Bible is not very specific on dating. I think even if the stories in the Bible were different and we were dealing with the same culture, I don't think they would also be models for dating in the same way that we see marriage. And they're not always models for marriage. So I think that's something to keep in mind. So this is another question where Jenny and I are going to tell you it's going to be different for every person. There's a verse in Proverbs 4:23, a very, very famous verse. You guys probably all know it. Really good Bible students, I bet, with these great questions. That says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I think this is an important thing to remember in a lot of areas of our walk as Christians. We want to guard our heart. Saying, I love you, is going to bring the relationship to a different level than it already is. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you say that at the beginning, you might feel a deeper level of commitment to this person. You're feeling more attached. You're feeling...
It implies a deeper level
it
of
does.
Commitment.
Yeah.
Whether you mean it to or not. So
100%. You do take it to another level when you say, I love you. Now, there's all different types of love. Now, this is where it gets tricky, because the English language only has one, but a lot of other languages have multiple, like brotherly love, or unconditional love from God, or love for your parents, and then romantic love. So, sometimes for me, I'm a very lovey person. I love Jenny. I tell Jenny I love
her
every time I leave her.
Every time she leaves me.
Yes, and I'm like, I love my friends so much, and I want them all to know that I love them. But I am not in love with Jenny.
Oh,
okay.
You're not.
No, unfortunately.
I thought it was like going down.
And I
that
wanted
path.
To tell okay. you on the podcast. It was very clear.
That's fine.
I wanted you to know in front of everyone that I am not
now
romantically
that
in love with you.
Humiliated Public- you.
Now that I've put you back in your place,
you.
We
ahead.
Can go back to the podcast so that you know what you mean to me. I feel all different types of love for them, but I very much love my friends, and I also very much love my husband. They're two very different types of love. So for me, I was feeling like I loved my husband very early on to dating, but it wasn't this romantic love. It was like, I love this guy as a dear friend. I absolutely love him. And so it's going to, you might start feeling like, oh my gosh, I really love this person. But romantic love is also going to feel different than like, oh, I love my friend. You might have an infatuation yeah. and already some brotherly love or like friendship love. And so it's really kind of walking through that, being wise and discerning. I think also, even if you know, I for sure romantically really love this person, you don't have to say it right away.
Right.
You could be like, you're
think
cool.
Think it to yourself and feel it, but know that it's not the right time to say it.
Yes.
And
I
that's
know
okay.
the end of phone calls are awkward when you can't end them with, I love you. Okay. I know sometimes that for me was just like, yeah. I want to just say it so
okay.
that I can end it.
Sleep well, bye.
But you can find something else to say, like, mm-hmm. I had a really good conversation, have a good night, or mm-hmm. something else instead of, I love you. Mm-hmm. And so you can sometimes keep that to yourself until you are, I think you can also love someone and be unsure that you want, like, for sure want to continue in this relationship in a deeper
yeah.
commitment and a deeper level. So you can start loving someone, start knowing you love someone romantically. You don't have to say it right away. But you can kind of discern when a good time is for them. Some people, like we mentioned, they might be more reserved. They might know it, but they might also not like even identify that they know it. And for them, if you said it month one,
yeah.
they're going to be like, whoa, this
you
is,
know,
I can't do this.
This is just something I've observed. Don't know if it's actual fact, but I feel like the two types of people that one is like way more open
mm-hmm.
and then the nuts you have to crack.
Yeah.
I think those two people are usually attracted to each
yeah,
other.
Yeah. Very good couple,
so,
I think.
Yeah. I mean, if you're two different camps on that, that's normal.
Yeah. Opposites attract. That's one of the laws of Newton.
Mm-hmm.
We were not getting
Newton.
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 So that is actually fact, Jenny, because
thank you
Newton
so much.
Decrees it. Yes, you are most likely to be with someone because you're attracted to that. People who are reserved are attracted to like, oh, wow, they can really just express their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are expressing their feelings are attracted to people that are like, whoa, they're really level-headed and really thinking about this. So it is normal to say, I love you, when you say I love you, I think there's no time frame. Like Jenny, I mentioned, the first date is not going to consist of probably talking about your masturbation and saying I love you.
I mean, that'd be a lot. I think that'd be a lot.
That would be a really heavy first date. We just covered
so much in one date.
I don't know if you're getting a second date. Yeah. I'm going to be real with you.
Yeah.
But I think it's normal to start saying it maybe within the first 6 months. Some people are going to be earlier. Some people might be later. Don't feel like you're like, I haven't said it in the first 6 months. It's not happening. You might be on a different timetable. Everyone is different. Mm-hmm. That is why we can't give you a timeline.
Yes.
Because everybody's going to be totally different. I think the first time I said it to my husband was an accident. I had no intention of saying it. I was hanging up the phone and it came out. Okay, this is why I'm talking about the phone. Because I said it to all my friends. Every time I hung up, I go, I love you. And then I was hanging up the phone and I go, I love you. And I hung up the phone and he called me back and he's like, what did you say? And I was like, oh, I don't
know. Did I say that?
Me?
I don't remember saying that.
Well, I don't remember saying that.
That's funny.
And then I was like, okay, yeah, I said it. And I was like, I do mean it. I don't want to scare you off. I'm so sorry I actually said it. And it worked out because he's like, no, I love you too.
He eventually came around.
Yeah, we were long distance, so really he didn't want to say it because we were both, you know, we were both doing missions work anyway. And we didn't want to say it while we were gone, but I accidentally just did that. So
that's awesome.
Be on guard when you're hanging on up the guard.
That's when you're most vulnerable. Okay, this is not a listener question, but I put it in there. Thought it was worth addressing. Mm. How fast is too fast? Is there a too fast? Take it away.
Well, there are speed limits on roads.
Yes,
so
it's
I
true.
Would argue that there should That's be a true. Speed limit on, I'm just kidding, on your relationship. I think that there is such a thing as too fast, but not in the sense of like, there is a certain timeline and within that timeline, it's too fast. Guess what? You guys are going to hate us again. It depends on the person. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy because some people might have been ready for a commitment. Think of people who are older getting married. You know, they've really done self-work. They're ready to make a covenant. They're ready to make a commitment. They might get married much faster, maybe someone who's younger or vice versa. And too fast is too fast. One, when it's the posture of sin is what's making you go too fast. You are, as Paul would delicately put it, burning with passion. That in lay terms is being horny, ladies and gentlemen.
Lay terms.
That is what I would call too fast when that's a motivation to get married. Mm-hmm. I think it's also too fast if you're making them an idol, which has been really spread in the Christian community. It's not when you're too in love with them. It's not infatuation. It's genuinely when you thought this whole time they're going to make you happy mm-hmm. and you're riding off the high of like, I finally got what I want. You know, my life is perfect. I have this thing. You're 2 weeks in. And then 2 weeks later, you know, you're like, wait a second, I'm feeling empty. And it's because you are filling a void that was supposed to be for the Lord. So when it's unwise, that can be too fast. You have to understand your own heart. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Search my heart. Am I doing this out of a sinful posture? Am I doing this because the desires of my heart aren't correct? Or am I really ready for a covenant? We're both ready to make that commitment. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. Yep. You know? Sorry, I don't know why I said, you know, sometimes I
just... You know?
You know?
I would just beware of the mindset that says, make sure your engagement is super quick because you don't want to mess up. Or if you're starting to push sexual boundaries now, it's better that you just get married. Mm. That is not a good mindset because you know what? It pushes people into relationships in marriage where you don't know the person super well yet.
Yeah.
So it'd be different if your engagement was really short because you're ready to get married and because you have discussed everything you need to start a life with someone. That would be completely different.
Absolutely. I think also you just set yourself up for the type of marriage you're going to have. If you go too fast and rush things, that does not mean you're going to automatically have a bad marriage. You know, you make some mistakes and you're like, oh my gosh, we really went too fast and now there's a ring on our finger. You just might have more struggles early in your marriage or throughout your marriage that you could have avoided. So I would err on the side of going too slow, both in physical intimacy, emotion, like I would err on that side versus going too fast because you can spare yourself heartache and pain and just honestly fights about things that are silly that you could have really just worked out before you got married if you weren't kind of in a rush. I think Jenny and I both went to a Christian school. Really? There is this really heavy emphasis placed on marriage. It is the pinnacle of
godliness.
Godliness of Christianity. You know, marriage is the goal in life. And after that, there's nothing else. You know, you're not doing anything. That is not the case. Jenny has lots of great episodes talking about this. I think, you know, if you're struggling with singleness, like just the idea of singleness, not you're single, that doesn't mean you're struggling with it just because you're single. You can be struggling with in the confines of being a single person, mm-hmm. and struggling with that, you know, God, why am I? Search your heart in that. You know, that's a really great time to know yourself. You could prevent, you know, if God does have marriage for you and you want marriage, you could still prevent yourself from so many things. Yeah. If you were just like, oh, I'll just do some work while I'm in this.
Might as well.
Just get a little bit done.
Work. And enjoy my life while I'm here.
You guys are the work doing people. Yep. I see by these questions, you're the
workers.
You are,
because you're smart. That's why you mm-hmm. think through things. The last two listener questions were more focused on your mindset. And I'm just very impressed. I'm very impressed with all these questions. I'll say that. This next one says, if my boyfriend tells me he has already had sex in previous relationships, should I be concerned? Bottom line, not necessarily.
No. Having sex in a previous relationship, it's not in itself something we're concerned at all. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Not even at all. Not even a red flag. We have all made past mistakes and done sins that we wouldn't do in the present. And like Jenny said in the beginning, you are redeemed and forgiven if you have fully repented. That is true. That mm-hmm. is what the cross was for. You are covered by the blood. If you both are discussing your views going forward on sexual purity and aligning those with the Bible, which will probably also coincide with those conversations about porn and like other sexual sin, you could even casually bring that up in a way of being like, hey, what are your like sexual ethics? Like, what do you think? Like, what are your boundaries? Like, what are you looking for in a relationship? That might be like a more nonchalant way of bringing it up besides like, I struggle with masturbation.
I have to get it out. I'm so sorry. I have to get that off my chest.
It's burning in me. I think that might be like a more, you know, lax way of bringing that up. Like, here are my boundaries because, you know, I have struggled with this in the past. And that might be a way to segue into it.
Super casual.
Super casual. That's just a biblical thing that you could talk about. But it's going to be important that you establish boundaries and are both upholding and honoring those boundaries. There's no problem in that. Mm-hmm. I did have sex before I met my husband with an ex-boyfriend. And my husband and I were very, very intentional. And we were both upholding it in our relationship. The problem comes when only one person wants to uphold it and the other person doesn't. Mm-hmm. There are going to be, you know, difficulties with that. Sometimes there's feelings that can come up knowing, you know, your boyfriend or girlfriend has had sex with someone else in the past. That's something that can be navigated. That's something mm-hmm. that might take healing. That's something you two can search, you know, search out some counsel or seek the Lord together in. But that's not a red flag just because you guys might need some healing in that.
Yeah.
Okay, I think there can be just as much of a red flag of someone who hasn't had sex yet, mm-hmm. but their heart is not aligned with the Lord's on sexual purity. Mm-hmm. I think that can be even more of a red flag because just because they haven't doesn't mean they won't with you when you're getting serious, yeah. you're at engagement, you've trusted them with your heart and things like that. Mm-hmm. So not a red flag. The red flag comes when you're talking about boundaries and sexual ethics and sexual purity and where those align and how, you know, important those are to the person mm-hmm. that you're going to date.
I'll just say this one thing about that. Just this one thing just about that.
Tidbit.
I think the problem comes in our mindsets when we're thinking, when you're thinking to yourself, my sexual purity is a gift for my future spouse. Mm-hmm. And that really skews things up because that's not the sole purpose.
Yeah.
It's not the sole purpose. Your integrity in your sexuality and other places is a gift for the Lord every yeah. day. And so if that could lead to this unhealthy mindset, if you're saying, oh, well, it's supposed to be a gift for your future spouse and this person that I'm dating doesn't have that, or their gift is skewed and or it's messed up and tainted.
It's been, you know, thrown on the highway and
exactly.
run over. And I don't want that.
I don't want that. It's not a good gift. It's not really for you. It is truly yes. between them and God. And then when you get into marriage, you get to build a sex life together.
Yes.
That's redeemed.
Because
so.
It doesn't take away from you. When you have sex with someone else, nothing has left you. Mm-hmm. Nothing is lesser in you. You're not less of a person. You're not less of a pure person. Purity comes from the heart.
Yes.
Okay? You could be a very impure person and still be a virgin.
Yep.
You could be a very pure person yep. and have had sex with multiple people.
Because the pure in heart will see God.
Yes. And God yes. cares more about the heart and not the outward opinion.
Opinions.
Not your outward opinions or your outward appearance. But God cares about the heart. So the red flag is in the heart posture. Mm-hmm. And that takes a little bit to get to know.
Last listener question says, I'm currently dating a close friend. How do I get out of the he's just a friend, not my boyfriend headspace? Now, when I wrote notes for this question, I only wrote one sentence, and it was like kind of a joke, but also not kind of a joke. It's like, I'm joking, but I'm really not joking. You could just kiss him. Because that works every time.
Yes.
You want to think of something not as a friend? Why not just kiss him?
Give him a smooch. Hold his hand.
Well, I mean, if you are struggling with thinking he's just a friend, not my boyfriend, then you can start to do more romantic things with him. And that will hopefully get your mindset out of that.
Yeah. That's not a bad thing to think of him as a friend, because I think your spouse should be your best friend.
Yeah.
I love that part of my relationship. It's like best friend, but also romantic partner.
Buddy.
Lover, I guess. Some people hate that term of lover. But yeah, I would say the same thing. You know, you can do things that give you more romantic intimacy that, you know, don't have to go all the way to sex, but kissing is not bad before marriage. I'm going to put it out there. You've got boundaries and you're just like, oh, I'm like, you know, struggling to get out of the space. Give them a smooch.
Why not?
I think so.
Just try it. See what happens.
And if it goes bad, that's not on us.
That's not my problem.
We're not doing an episode on how to smooch. So do not ask us for an episode. Okay, now that you told me to smooch.
I cannot show you over a podcast. There isn't even any video with this one.
You are going to be left hanging on the topic of how to smooch. I'm sorry. We don't want to do it to you, but we will.
We will. We'll do that. Okay.
That's on you.
Any resources you want to share?
I think similarly to the last episode, my favorite book on dating and marriage, all things engagement, is still John Mark Comer's Loveology.
Of course.
And I think that's a really helpful book in thinking about it and preparing your heart for these things. In terms of dating, I don't have any specific things. Maybe you have something that might be more helpful to this.
There's a book called Love in Every Season by Deborah Folletta. If you're not into reading, she has a podcast too. Mm. And that's really good. So you could search her name. She's very popular because she created the website True Love Dates. I think people have genuinely heard that name. But Love in Every Season is about getting to know someone through dating. It's really good and it makes it very simple. So I cannot thank you enough for coming on a second time, Danielle. It doesn't matter if the people wanted it or not, because we were going to give it to them.
This is a hostage situation for the listeners.
Absolutely.
It probably will not be the last time, we hate to tell you. So it will probably be a hostage situation in the future.
I mean, now that we recorded an early dating episode, now we need to go more serious.
Oh, we're going to go into serious dating.
Oh, going into serious dating.
We are
going
to go up until death.
Yep, we are. Even though we haven't reached that yet, we're going to go there. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jenny. It is always so fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Head to Heart Podcast. It's a joy to record them and a joy to have you listen. Since you're a dedicated listener and made it to the very end of the episode, I have two gifts for you. One is that I have a free resource linked in the show notes for you. It's a resource created to help you take the truth you've learned either in this episode or in a previous one and apply it to your life. The second gift I have for you is access to my seasonal playlist. Every season, summer, fall, winter, spring, I create a regular playlist and a worship playlist that will be ongoing throughout the season. And you'll be able to follow it on Spotify if you need some good boogie tunes. Because let's be honest, in another life, I would have been a DJ. So you now have full access to meet all your seasonal music needs in the show notes. As always, I love hearing from you. So follow me on Instagram and send me a DM of how this episode impacted you. The handle is headtoheart_podcast. And if you would be so kind, leave a 5-star rating and review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the website. By doing this, you'll help me get more amazing guests on the show in the future. I'll be releasing new episodes to you every other Friday, so stay tuned and thanks for joining us.